is the desire to be independent of God. The root of all holiness is in the phrase, Jesus is Lord. You see, man was never designed to live independent of God. He's never fulfilled. He's never made whole. He's never made complete without the presence of God in his life. Even though man is a spirit being that possesses a soul and lives in a body, that spirit was designed by the Creator to be a home for himself. And ever since the fall until the day of Pentecost, man was an empty spiritual being. He lacked that within his spirit that enabled him to walk with power. Man needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to be able to walk with power. You see, the power in man is not in the mind. All the teaching today, all the advertising, all the things that we see in our world today with computers and everything else is all the power of the mind. And basically, it has no power at all. There's no great power at all in the mind. And yet, at one time in my biblical and spiritual upbringing, I was taught that the renewed mind was the key to power. In other words, if I studied enough of the Bible, if I studied enough of the Word of God, that I'd be able to walk with power in my life. Well, the power in man, the power even in the Christian man or the Christian woman, doesn't come from his mind or from his soul. The soul being a part of the mind, or the mind being a part of the soul. The power comes from the Holy Spirit indwelling that man's spirit. See, you and I are full of power by the Spirit of God. And that's exactly what it says here in Micah chapter 3. In Micah chapter 3, and in verse 8, it says, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." Micah says, I'm full of power not from my mind or from my soul and not from my body, but from the Spirit of God that indwells my spirit. That's where man's power comes from. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a strong soul and having a strong, sound mind, a mind filled with God's Word. That's necessary. There's nothing wrong with having a strong and healthy physical body. In fact, that's exactly the will of God. But our strength doesn't come from our physical bodies. Our strength doesn't come from our souls or our minds. Our strength comes from the Holy Spirit indwelling our spirit. He's the one who strengthens us. Paul said by revelation in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through my mind? No. He said, through him or through Christ who strengthens me. See, it's the Spirit of Christ dwelling in the spirit of man that gives the Christian his power and his life. And that's where our focus needs to be on. Because we come up against impossible situations. We come up against situations where our bodily strength is utterly helpless. Our mental or our soulish strength is utterly helpless. We come up against situations that demand nothing less than the power of God. And we have to learn to rely upon the Spirit of God. We have to learn to rely upon the Holy Spirit working in us to bring His Word to pass, to strengthen us, to enable us in every situation. You see, Jesus, in His earthly life, He was led by the Holy Spirit. And the power that He manifested, the power that He evidenced in the world, didn't come from His body, it didn't come from His soul, it came from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit within His spirit. That's right. In Luke chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 4, within the power of God and the Spirit of God, our potential is limitless. Absolutely limitless. what God can do and through in us and through us. There's just nothing limiting us at all. If I depended upon my physical ability, I'd be very, very limited. If I depended upon my soulish ability, again, I would be very, very limited. But my power, my life doesn't come from my flesh or doesn't come from my soul. It comes from the Spirit of God indwelling my spirit. And because of Him indwelling me, the potential power in my life is limitless. That's right. Joshua, by the Spirit of God, in Joshua chapter 10, He commanded the sun and the moon to stop. He commanded the sun and the moon to stop. In other words, the whole universe stopped, because we know the laws of gravitation and everything else, that in order for God to stop the sun and the moon, He had to stop the whole entire universe. And He froze the universe at the command of Joshua, speaking by the Spirit of God. Now you tell me what kind of power that is. You tell me what kind of power you have in your soul or in your body to do something like that. You don't have any power at all. Neither do I. Our power comes from the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And with the Holy Spirit in us, the potential for our lives is absolutely limitless. That's right. The potential for our walks, the potential to minister in power, is absolutely limitless. In Luke chapter 4, and in verse 14. It says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region round about. Jesus didn't need Air Kenya or Air Tanzania. He didn't need a car. He didn't even need a donkey, because He was taken from one place by the Spirit of God. He was physically transported from one place to another place. Now, what He did, the Spirit of God can do in our lives. But the power in His life didn't come from His flesh, didn't come from His soul. It came from the Holy Spirit indwelling His spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Romans chapter 1. You see, we want to talk about the doctrine of spiritual power. The doctrine of spiritual power. Because once we learn the doctrine of spiritual power, then we can learn the practical side of how to walk in power. Once we learn what the Word of God says about power and about how it's to be manifested in our lives, then we can learn how to walk in it. See? And the doctrine of spiritual power is to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the key to power, not the mind. In Romans chapter 1. In verse 3 it says, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus' ministry was marked with power, and that power came from the Holy Spirit. That's right. The same source we have. The same source we have. The Holy Spirit that indwelt the Lord Jesus at the time of His baptism is the same Holy Spirit that indwells you and I. It's God indwelling our spirits, enabling us to walk with power. It's God indwelling us. It's the Holy Spirit indwelling us.
See?
That enables us to walk with power. What made Paul's ministry so successful was that he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he walked in light of that power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 4, it says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." You see, if his speech and his preaching had been with enticing words of man's wisdom, then his power would have come out of his soul. That's right. But it doesn't say that. It says, it was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, Paul's ministry wasn't based on his soul. Paul's ministry was based on the Holy Spirit working within his life. because his words, his preaching, were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Everywhere Paul went, he demonstrated, he showed people the power of God. He showed people the power of God so that they could believe in a living God and not in a dead philosophy of men. That's right. He wanted their faith to be built up in the power of God, so he walked in light of that power. And that's what made his ministry so dynamic. That's what made his ministry so successful. That's what will make your ministry so successful. That's what will cause your life to be such a glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are filled with his power, and when you walk in that power, when you demonstrate that power. That's right. People say that miracles are God's advertising. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Miracles demonstrate the love of God to a dead and dying world. Miracles bring the blessings of God's power and life into a dark and sick and dying situation. That's right. We don't just come in with nice words or loving acts. We come in with the power of God and loving acts and loving words from the Holy Spirit. See, we have words and works. Words and works. And our power doesn't come from our soul. It doesn't come from our great training in Bible seminaries and in the great worldly wisdom of philosophy. Our power comes from the Holy Spirit as we demonstrate that Spirit, as we're led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's right. Glory to God. And it's going to take the power of God and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit to change Muslims into Christians. It's going to take the power of God and the Holy Spirit to get us into countries in North Africa where it's illegal to be a Christian. It's going to take the power of God. And we need to be equipped. We need to be walking not only in the knowledge in our souls of the Word of God, but the power of God filling our spirits and enabling us to do the works of Jesus Christ. If anybody should have been able to walk with power out of his soul, it should have been Jesus. But Jesus never did a miracle until he received the Holy Spirit. That's right. Look at Acts chapter 10. If the key to power was the renewed mind, it should have been that way for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. But he didn't walk with power until he was filled with the Holy Spirit at the point of his baptism. Look at Acts chapter 10. Bless your heart. Glory to God. Some of us have built our whole lives on soulish power. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to walk in spirit power if we're going to accomplish the things of God. If we're going to do the works that he did, we have to quit relying upon our soulish abilities and start relying upon the Spirit of God and learning to walk by the Spirit. You can do so much more by the Spirit of God to accomplish the things of the kingdom of God than you could ever do with the greatest soulish training. That's right. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God, the Holy Spirit, was with him. That's right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, that's what filled Jesus' earthly ministry with power, that he received the Holy Spirit at his baptism. That's what enabled him to walk with the power of God. That's right. It's the same truth for you and I. It's the same truth for you and I. Look at Acts chapter 1. The Holy Spirit is the key to power in a Christian's life. Acts chapter 1. In verse 8, Jesus, promising the disciples here, said in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, but ye shall receive power after or when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's right. What is the genuine Christian witness? It's to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to demonstrate that Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit and to demonstrate that Spirit. Otherwise, you're just arguing philosophies with people. That's right. We need to demonstrate the Holy Spirit. And this is how we are witnesses unto Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He witnesses to the lordship of Jesus over all the earth. He witnesses to it by His power in manifestation. That's right. Every time there's a miracle, every time there's a wonderful sign or a work that happens by the power of the Holy Spirit, it always glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is lifted up, and it's a witness unto Him. That's right. We need to see more witnesses of His resurrection, of His lordship, of His dominion, of His almighty power in the world today. We need to see more witnesses of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that witness is accomplished by demonstrating the Holy Spirit, by the power of God being manifest in the life of a Christian. That's right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you and I were to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon. This promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And now it's available for every one of us to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Every single Christian can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and operate and demonstrate that power so that they are effective witnesses to the rest of the world. Hallelujah. We've got a big task ahead of us. Do you realize that only 20% of the peoples of Africa claim to be Christian? And how many out of those 20% are really Christian? That's right. If that's true, let's say all 20 are filled with the 80% of the populations of the continent of Africa still aren't saved. That's right. We need a tremendous a demonstration of power. We need great power in our lives, in all of our lives, to move the greatness of God's Word across these lands that God has called us to minister to. Praise the Lord. And we're witnesses unto Him. You see, Jesus today is the head of the body. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Bless your hearts. Jesus today is the head of the body. We are His hands and His feet. We carry out His work. He tells us what to do. We receive messages. We receive instructions from the head. And we also receive power from the head. And we carry out His work. It's the head. Look at verse 15. It says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." When the whole body is joined together and knitted together by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, it makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see, as you are led by the Lord Jesus Christ, and as I am led by the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're able to minister effectively. And because of that, the whole body begins to grow. See, the whole body begins to grow. If you and I can learn to be led by the Lord Jesus Christ, then He will coordinate our ministries. He will coordinate His body together, and the result will be that that body grows and builds up itself in love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we need to all come under the headship and the lordship of Jesus Christ, which is the practical outworking of being led by the Spirit. Do you see why the root of sin is the desire to be independent of God? To be independent of God is just the opposite of being led by the Spirit. When you are led by the Spirit, you are a yielded vessel to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're still living independent of God, you're doing your own thing. You do what you want to do. You live the way you want to live. You carry out your life and your ministry the way you want to carry out your life and your ministry. Well, that's sin. That, brothers and sisters, is sin. See? It's being independent of God. God never intended life to be that way. He wants us to be led by the Lord. He wants us to follow direction from the head. And when we follow direction from the head, then we're successful in our ministries. In order to follow direction from the head, you have to be a yielded vessel. You have to submit yourself to His Lordship. That's why I said that the root of all holiness is in the phrase, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord in a very real, in a very practical sense in our day-by-day lives, in that He directs us on a daily basis how to live and how to move our ministries, how to carry out the things of the gospel of the kingdom of God. See? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He directs us as the head, and we are His hands and His feet, and together we move in a united way. And when we're all moving under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the effectual building up of the church is accomplished because everybody's carrying out His role underneath the head. That's right. Do you know there's only two positions in the body of Christ? There's head and then there's member. That's right. We are members, and no member is any more important than any other member. Every member is needed. You can't be the head, so you need to be a good member. And how you carry out your membership in the body of Christ is by following the head, being a yielded vessel, being dependent upon God. See, being dependent upon God for your life, for your work, for all that you do, for your needs to be met, for everything else to work in your life and ministry, and not leading things yourself. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is the doctrine of spiritual power. The doctrine of spiritual power is to be led by the Spirit. You see in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Do you know what the difference between a child of God and a son of God is? The difference is maturity. That's right. You're born into the family of God at the moment you accept Jesus as your Lord. You become a child of God by grace. But you grow up in Him and you begin to be led by Him. Then you grow up into your sonship responsibilities. You see, any of us who've ever been a parent understands this. You have a baby. He's a week old. He's 2 weeks old. You don't expect him to go out and mow the grass. You don't expect him to go out and milk the cow. You don't expect him to go out and clean in the yard. That's right. You don't expect him to do those things. Why? Because he's a child. He's not grown up enough yet. But when he becomes more mature, then he begins to take on responsibilities in the household. He begins to have jobs and things that he's responsible to do. That's right. He begins to go to school. He begins to mature. Why? Because he's growing up to be a son. See? It's the sons of God who are led by the Spirit. And this is the great criteria to showing somebody's spiritual development. It's the great criteria. Because you can have been in Christ in salvation for 20 or 30 years and still be just a child of God. Because you've never grown up. You've never learned to be led by the Spirit of God. You can even be a pastor. That's right. You can even have a title or a responsibility over God's people that it was given to you by men and still be a child of God and not be a son of God. That's right. because you haven't grown up to that place where you're really a yielded vessel, where you're really allowing yourself to be led by the Spirit. See? We need to grow up in Christ. We need to, first of all, be honest about where we're at spiritually. And then, secondly, be willing to grow under the teaching ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as He raises us up. See? But it's the sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when it comes to the doctrine of spiritual power, to be led by the Spirit, there is two aspects of being led by the Spirit. There is being led by the written Word, and there is being led by the revealed Word of God. You know, I've had people tell me that they don't need to read the Bible anymore. It's because they can just ask Jesus what to do in every situation. Well, that's stupid. Because the Bible is written revelation given to us. That's right. And He expects us to know the Word. That's why it says in Colossians 3:16 to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's why it says in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly perfected unto all good works. Don't tell me that you're just going to listen to Jesus only and never read the Bible. That's stupid. Don't do that. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, we first of all have to read the Word. That's right. We have to read it on a daily basis. Then, God can also give us revelation by the revealed Word. And this class is primarily designed to teach you how to receive that revealed Word. That revealed Word that enables you to walk with the power of God. That's right. Because you need more revelation than what's given in the Bible. But you also need to know the revelation that is in the Bible. See, you need both in order to minister, in order to effectively carry out your ministry. You see, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Our example of being led by the Spirit is always the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when He was incarnated, when He was living upon earth as a human being, He was totally dependent upon God. He said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of Him who sent me. That's right. Even as a human being, He did not fulfill His own will. He waited until He received the Father's will, and then He carried it out. See? He is our example of being led by the Spirit in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 21, it says, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps. In Luke chapter 4, we are to follow His steps. In Luke chapter 4, it says in verse 16, it says, And when He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book or the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus found the place where it was written. Now, if you know anything about the scroll of Isaiah and about a lot of these other Old Testament scrolls, their Bibles weren't as beautiful as our Bibles are today. The scroll of Isaiah was approximately 20 meters long, approximately 70 feet long. This scroll, and it had no verses in it. It had no chapters in it. It had no markings. In fact, even the words were all run together from one word to another. Jesus, He didn't have 3 hours to find the verse that He was looking for. He had to have so studied the scroll of Isaiah, that he could open it up and find the place that he wanted to read, that he wanted to quote from that day. Do you think Jesus studied the Word of God? Yes, brother. Yes, sister. He studied the Word of God. He studied. He knew what the Word of God said. He knew what the Word of God said about him. He knew that. He had that in his mind. And that was the first great aspect in his life of how to be led by the Spirit. We are to follow his example. We are to study this Word of God. We're to put on this Word. We're to know what the Word of God says. So don't come and tell me that you don't need to read the Bible anymore, that all you need to do is listen to Jesus. Well, if you're really listening to Jesus, he's going to tell you to read the Bible. Hallelujah. That's right. Because if we're going to walk with the power of God, we have to be led by the Spirit. And the first and the primary way that we are led by the Spirit is to be led by the written scriptures of the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 1, we see that Jesus was not only led by the written scriptures, but he was led directly by the Spirit himself. And again, I want you to understand that he is our example. That he is our example when it comes to being led by the Spirit. See, he is our example. Other men in the Bible give us examples, but their examples are always flawed by sin. Jesus is our perfect example of how to be led by the Spirit. He never sinned in his physical body. He never sinned. See? So it's good to study Paul, it's good to study Moses, it's good to study Elijah and Elisha and all these other men who are filled with the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to the great example of being led by the Spirit, the Master himself is our example, and we are to follow his steps. He knew the Word of God. He knew the written Word. That's right. But he was also had direct revelation by the revealed Word from the Holy Spirit. And it says in Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This word led up is a wonderful word in the Word of God. It's the Greek word anango. And it's in the passive voice. In other words, Jesus allowed himself to be led. He allowed himself to be led. He allowed himself to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's how we walk by the Spirit. We allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. We are not the leaders, we are the followers. He is the head, we follow along behind. He is the leader. He takes our hands. He sets the direction. He tells us where to go. Now we have freedom of will to disobey him. That freedom of will gets us into sin. That's right. But you are never so moved by the Holy Spirit, and you're never controlled by the Holy Spirit to the end that you don't have freedom of will. That's right. But you are to be a yielded vessel. You and I are to be yielded vessels where we allow the Spirit to take us where he wants us to go. And it says Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He probably didn't choose to go there. If you've ever been to the wilderness south of Jerusalem like I have, it's an absolute barren wasteland. It's not a pretty place. It's a place of death. It's not a place of life. It's a place of barrenness. There's no trees out there. You can walk out into the wilderness and completely lose your sense of direction because there's no landmarks out there. It's just dunes. It's just there's no trees, nothing. It's just a total barren place. It was a place of trial. It was a place of testing. And my point in bringing that out is that Jesus probably in his soul would rather like to have gone somewhere else. But many times the Holy Spirit takes you into places that you in your soul would never want to go because he has a mission for you there. He has a responsibility for you there. So that's right. Glory to God. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a very important scripture. in our understanding of being led by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I must take the time to teach this to you and to help you to understand it so that you can carry out with the Word of God as to what it's saying. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." It says in verse 8, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." These five verses here in the Word of God have incredible truth when it comes to being led by the Spirit. When you are led by the Spirit, you will be led in these nine different evidences that have been listed here. This is how the Spirit will lead you. The Spirit will lead you into word of wisdom. The Spirit will lead you into word of knowledge. The Spirit will lead you into faith, into gifts of healings, into working of miracles. The Spirit will lead you into prophecy and discerning of spirits. The Spirit will lead you into divers kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. When the Spirit leads you, He will lead you in one or more of these different avenues of the Spirit that enable you to carry out the job that He has before you. And you need to be flexible. You need to be fluid in being flowing with the Spirit and being able to operate all nine of these manifestations. That's right. Let's look at verse 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit..." The word manifestation could be also translated "the evidence" or "the demonstration of the Spirit is given to every man." It's given to every man to profit withal. Every man has the enablements, has the ability to be filled and to be led by the Holy Spirit into operating all nine of these manifestations. Remember, John 14:12 says, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." In order to do the works that Jesus did, you need to flow in and you need to be operating and to be effective in all nine of these evidences of the Spirit. That's right. There's a common teaching in Pentecostal circles that a man or a woman can only receive one or two of the gifts of the Spirit or the evidences of the Spirit. That is not what the Word of God teaches. They've gotten it from verse 8, where it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." And they assume that that means to one person is given the word of wisdom. To another person is given the word of knowledge. That's not what it says in the grammar from the Greek. The words "to one" refer back to the prophet in verse 7. The words "for to one" refer back to the prophet in verse 7. And that's exactly what it says here. "For to one prophet is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another prophet," P-R-O-F-I-T, "to another prophet" or another benefit "is given the word of knowledge. To another benefit or profit is given faith by the same Spirit. To another benefit or profit is given the gifts of healing by the same Spirit." You see, each of the manifestations or each of the evidences of the Spirit has a particular benefit to it. Or profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, a particular profit to it. You would use, speaking in tongues would have a different profit to it than, say, word of wisdom. Or discerning of spirits would have a certain profit to it other than, let's say, the manifestation of faith. See, They have different prophets. They have different. There's different purposes for each of these manifestations. But you and I must learn that we need to operate all of these manifestations. You see, when people come to me and say that they can only speak in tongues, that that's the only gift that they can operate in, and then I say, well, how can you, by speaking in tongues, raise the dead? How can you, by speaking in tongues, do all the works that Jesus did? You can't. Speaking in tongues wasn't designed to do that. But there are other manifestations that are designed to do those things. How can you heal the sick by just speaking in tongues? How can you prophesy by speaking in tongues? Jesus prophesied. That's right. You need more than just the gift or the evidence of speaking in tongues. And you need to be able to operate all nine, bless your heart. That's right. To do what the Word says. That's why this teaching that you only receive one or two of the gifts of the Spirit is just doesn't fit with the overall context of the Word of God. That's right. You need to operate and you need to flow in all nine of the evidences of the Spirit. You need to be able to interpret tongues. You need to be able to prophesy. You need to be able to receive word of knowledge and word of wisdom. You need to be able to receive discerning of spirits. You need to walk in spiritual faith. You need to walk in the power of workings of miracles. That's right. And you need to be able to administer the blessings of gifts of healings. That's right. Some people call these gifts, some people call these manifestations, some people call them evidences. I have no problem with calling them any of those things. Because I understand that every time I receive a word of knowledge, it's a gift to me from the Spirit. Well, that's right. Because it doesn't come by my works, it comes by grace. I understand that when I receive discerning of spirits, or I receive tongues with interpretation, it's a gift to me from the Spirit. There's nothing I did to work for it. There's nothing I did to deserve it. See? But it's there for me, and He makes it available for me because He loves me, and He's with me, and He wants me to walk with power. That's right. When I teach you about revelation, about word of knowledge and word of wisdom and discerning of spirits, you'll realize that you've been receiving revelation since the day you became a Christian. That's right. You know, I'm a father. I've got three children, Aaron, Jeremy, and Lucy. I talk to them every day. I have talked to them every day of my life, as long as I've been around them. I talk to them every day. I talk to them from the first day they were born. That's right. Now, am I a more loving father than my heavenly Father is? Oh, don't ask me the answer to that question. That's right. He's much more loving than I am. He cares for me much more than I care for my children. It's just not even worth talking about. The greatness of His love compared to my love. See, He's been talking to you since the moment you accepted Him. That's right. And He continues to talk to you on a daily basis. You just got to learn to discern His voice. That's right. And we'll learn that. We'll see that in the Word of God so that you can grow in your fellowship with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. See, these evidences are for each one of us. Now look at verse 11. This is a rather rough translation in verse 11. It says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit." When you work this in the Greek, you see that the word Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, is the subject of the sentence. And the New King James Version has a much more accurate translation of verse 11 than the King James does. And I want to read you the New King James, and we'll have it for you. It should be there in your notebook. It says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as He wills." That's right. Distributing to each one individually as He wills. That's right. It's the Spirit who energizes these evidences in our lives as we believe Him, as we trust Him, as we look to Him. I cannot, by my own will, decide to receive word of knowledge. That's right. I cannot, by my own will, decide to give a gift of healing. Now, I can speak in tongues at any time because the written word has told me that I can speak in tongues at any time. And that is a manifestation or a gift of the Spirit that you can operate all the time. But the other manifestations or the other gifts of the Spirit, you're only to operate them as you're led. As you're led. I don't just interpret tongues whenever I want to. I interpret tongues when I'm led to interpret tongues. I prophesy when I'm led to prophesy. I receive word of knowledge or word of wisdom when I'm led by the Spirit to receive it. You see how that works? It's as He wills. It's as the Spirit wills to give. There are even times in my life when I'm led to pray in English rather than in tongues. That's right, because there's two ways I can pray. And when we talk about tongues, which we will later on in the class, we will learn that there's two ways to pray. There's two ways to pray. I can pray with my soul in my mother tongue, which is English, or I can pray in the Spirit, which is speaking in tongues. And how do I know when to do which? It's how I'm led. It's how I'm led. See? The key to walking with the power of God is to be led by the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit. You don't lead the Spirit. You are led by the Spirit. We'll talk more about this. But look at Galatians chapter 5. Bless your hearts. Isn't this good a word of God? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can be led by the Spirit. And this is how to walk in power. This is how to walk in the great ability of Christ within. This is how to demonstrate the Spirit. This is how to be effective witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I would say that nothing works in the kingdom of God but that it's led by the Spirit and by the grace and mercy of God. That's right. You cannot legalistically lead the body of Christ and produce spiritual fruit. That's right. In fact, legalism and the law and even church law is what snuffs out and quenches the Holy Spirit of God. That's why the Word of God says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." If ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's right. Brothers and sisters, why don't we be led by the Spirit? Why don't we be led by the Spirit in how we do our church meetings? Why don't we be led by the Spirit rather than planning everything out, rather than legalistically or traditionally doing things the way we've always done them? Why not take a chance and allow the Spirit to lead your church meetings? Why not allow the Holy Spirit to lead your praise fellowships? Why not allow the Holy Spirit to lead your teaching fellowships? See? Then you might start to see some real fruit. You might start to see some real blessing. You might start to see some real revival in that church if you'll let the Holy Spirit have His way in there, brother, rather than always dictating what you want or what your church wants or what your denomination wants or what your tradition says. Bless God forever. Why not be led by the Spirit and walk humbly as a member of the body of Christ instead of setting ourselves up in some elite class of being the clergy? The apostles never set themselves up above God's people. That's right. They never set themselves up above God's people. They were right down there in the trenches with God's people. And they lifted up the Lord and they magnified the Lord and they allowed the Holy Spirit to reign and have His way. Bless God forever. But you know what happens is we become professional Christians rather than Spirit-led Christians. We do all the right things so that we look good in the soulish realm rather than walk by the Spirit of God. We have to look good before Bishop so-and-so, and we have to look good before Archbishop so-and-so, and we have to please this man, and we have to please that man. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd rather have my life to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be rejected of all men. And I'll still have an effective ministry if I'm led by the Spirit and I'm walking in the love and the grace of God. That's right. You just lead your life so that it's pleasing to Jesus, brother. And don't worry about being pleasing to men or being pleasing to this man or being pleasing to that man. Because if your life is pleasing to Jesus and his life is pleasing to Jesus, your lives will be pleasing to one another. That's right. Glory to God. We don't have to be under the law. We don't have to be under this kind of bondage. Because it'll just quench the Spirit of God. It'll kill the Spirit. It'll snuff out the Spirit of God. Well, it won't kill the Spirit, but it'll kill the effects of the Spirit. It'll kill the fruit of the Spirit. That's right. If we're led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. And if I'm not under the law, then bless God, I'm not under the law. That's right. You know, I got criticized for teaching a church service in Uganda because I didn't have the proper clothes. Well, I'd just gotten off an airplane and gotten into the city, and we hadn't had a chance to get to the place where we were going to stay and change our clothes. But I got to the meeting, and all we were planning to do was to greet the people and then go home. But I saw the people there, and I was led by the Spirit, and I was just filled with the Spirit, and I just started preaching the Word. I just started teaching the Word. And there was a minister there who was offended because I didn't have the proper clothes on. Well, bless his heart. The Holy Spirit was there. The power of God was there. The blessing of God was there. Why did he have to be offended by my clothes? He didn't. He only got offended by my clothes because he was walking by his soul and not by his spirit, bless God. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to come so humbly before the Lord Jesus Christ that whether we have the proper clothes or not, we still do his will. That's right. Bless your heart. I love you. But if I'm led by the Spirit, I'm not under the law. And if I'm not under the law, I'm not under the law. Hallelujah. Praise the God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This word led in John chapter 16 is just a wonderful word. Lord, turn to John chapter 16. We've got to learn these truths of being led by the Spirit. John chapter 16, and in verse 13, it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will, and he will show you things to come." You see, the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself. He speaks as he hears the direction from the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the head of the body. And yet he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, we are guided into the truth of God's Word. We are guided into the truth of living the Christian life. This word guide is another form of the word anago, which means to be led by the Spirit. And this word is used many times in the Bible of a sailing ship, of a sailing vessel. And this makes great sense to me, because as a little child, as a young man, I learned to sail a boat. Many years ago when I was growing up, my parents took me to a lake where I learned to sail a boat. And I remember each day as we would start our sailing lessons, we would go into the storehouse and we would get out these little boats and we would put all the things into the boat that we needed. We would put the sail in, we'd put the main mast, we'd put the other mast in, we would put something called a batten board in, we would put the tiller in, We'd put the different ropes in, and we put all these things into our little boat, and then we'd have a little dolly that we could that could carry the boat out to the lake. And we would take the boat out to the lake on these dollies, and we would set it in the water, and then we would tie it up at the dock, and then we would climb into our boat, and we'd begin to put the whole thing together. See, finally, I got the mast up, and I got the sail up the mast, and I got the batten board in, and I got the tiller in the back, and I was all set to go. You can be all set to go, but you don't begin to sail until you untie from the dock and push away from the dock and start to allow the wind to lead you. See? You start to allow the wind to lead you. You know, that dock and all of our preparation is like our time of study in the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We get prepared to go out and be led by the Spirit. We get prepared to go out and be led by the Spirit. We spend time in prayer. We spend time studying the Word. But there finally comes a point where you have to push away from the dock, where you have to push away from the dock and let the wind take you. Let the wind take you. And let the wind give the power to your boat, and let the wind take you where you want to go. That's just like the Spirit of God. You, in your soul, you study the Word. You spend time with the Lord. You spend time in prayer. But when it comes to the ministry of God's Word, when it comes to the ministry of the Spirit, that's when you got to untie from the dock. You got to let go and let the wind of the Holy Spirit direct you and empower you. See? One thing about a sailboat is that it has no power to get anywhere on its own. It's completely dependent upon the wind. And it's the same truth in our Christian lives. We can't get anywhere by ourselves. We have to learn to become completely dependent upon the wind of the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, to take us where we need to go. Hallelujah. See? He will guide you into all truth. This is a promise. This is a promise that you can, as we say here in America, take to the bank, so to speak, that you can build your life upon. This is a brick that you can build the house of your life upon, that He will guide you. His guidance will be there. He will guide you in every situation in life. If you learn to be led by His Spirit, if you learn to be a yielded vessel, if you push away from the dock and allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to take you on your journey of life, He will guide you. And as we sit through these sessions here from now on, we're going to learn how the Spirit guides, how the Spirit leads, how the Spirit takes us on that journey, because we are yielded vessels unto Him. We are totally dependent upon Him. We have no desire to be independent of God. We are totally dependent upon Him. And if we're going to go anywhere, it's going to be because the Holy Spirit's going to take us there. Because we are yielded vessels unto Him, walking in holiness. Because Jesus is the Lord of our lives.